Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. And this morning, we want to definitely honor the mothers and the ladies of Highland Hills. It's one thing to in 41 years of life, I've learned a couple things. That it's one thing to give birth and to have a child. It's a completely different reality to be a mother. And motherhood is not necessarily limited to those who have made a child. And I know that in this congregation especially, we have those who have their own children and still mother other people. And we have those who are more than willing to be mothered. And it's a wonderful thing to be surrounded by women who are willing to extend a legacy of faith to this congregation and to this community. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Proverbs 31. This morning we're going to talk about, as it pertains to Mother's Day, honoring women this day. Now, I think that it's, and I've said this before, that it's our best attempt to honor mothers and to honor women in general. And the fact of the matter is that there is no 24-hour period that you could pack all of the honors and accolades and commencements and all of the things that we would need to do in order to honor the women that we know in our lives and to honor women in general of faith. There's no 24 hours that you could pack enough into. And so we attempt on this day to say thank you and to honor the women in our lives and honor the women of faith. It's kind of like the card that I gave Vic this morning. As I'm scanning the cards and the kids are all giving hers, and I'm scanning the cards at the card place and I'm reading them and, this one's funny and that one's clever and this one's soupy and that one's sappy and that one uses words I don't really understand and I'm like, well, I can't give her that. And so I found one that, okay, it was cute, had a little bow on his ribbon, and it said some things that were pretty nice, and, in the inside, it was a quick read, and all right. And as I was looking, I grabbed the envelope that was right behind it, and I get it home, and I realized the envelope doesn't fit the card. The card's a little bigger than the envelope. Envelope's wide, or long, and the card is short. The envelope's narrow, and the card is tall, so there was no way to fit it in there. And I thought, well, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect because this is what I really wanted to say. I said, this is a stupid, and I wrote on there, this is a stupid card, and the envelope doesn't even fit. But as I looked around, I realized that nobody could say what I wanted to say to my wife and the mother of my children on Mother's Day. And I think that's kind of a theme through this is other, as we attempt to honor the women in our lives and the women in our churches, that words just seem to fall short. Cards just seem to not really capture everything because it's somebody I don't know talking about somebody they don't know, and I'm just supposed to adopt their words and say, this is what I think, and somebody else came up with it, and what do you think? And really, one day isn't enough. And I think but it is our attempt. It is our attempt to say thank you. Not only for all of the things that Proverbs 31 talk about. This is a passage it's honoring in a very domestic kind of way. And it talks about a lot of things that women today don't really do that much of. But it's about gathering these kind of cloths and making these kind of garments and all this. But the overall gist of Proverbs 31 is just recognizing and honoring what a magnificent thing it is to be this woman of faith and woman of character and of intellect and of integrity. And the thing that the writer here is trying to get us to understand is that it's a valuable and important thing to be a woman of faith. And it certainly is something that God calls us to do, that is to honor these godly women. And honor godly women, not just for what they believe and not just for what they think and not just for their understanding of a God that's greater than themselves. But as you look through this passage, it's all about what do godly women do? There's a specific standard that they set. There's a specific reality that they live. And not just one day, but every day. And God calls us to honor these women. The first thing that I want to do, and by the way, my beginning, and I know that the women today and mothers have gotten presents and stuff like that, and we're going to honor you in just a minute as well. But my gift is that to you is that even though the clock says it's 7 till, I'm going to make sure that I don't preach until, you know, all that I've got prepared here. You're welcome. But the first thing that I want us to understand is recognize their worth. As we honor women today and throughout the rest of today and this week and the rest of our lives, really, is recognize their worth. Throughout this passage that Denning read this morning, it's recognizing the worth and the understanding that role does not determine value. There's a distinct role difference that's being played here. They're talking about the men that go off and deliberate with the church fathers and the city fathers and doing all of this important work, doing all of this noble, grand work and all this stuff, that kind of work gets all of the press. It gets all of the accolades. Oh, look at the church fathers. Look at the men of this society sitting there deliberating over this. You know why they can do that? Because the women in their lives have made sure that they're warm, that they're fed, that they're humbled, that they're all of these things so that they can go out and do, and there's value in that. And role does not determine value. And I know that in a society that's largely male dominated and has been for, since the beginning of this country, is that sometimes the role of women gets devalued sometimes, but scripture says that role does not determine value, and there is an inherent worth in the duties and the work of the godly woman. And people need to know how valuable they are. It would be, we just went through a very difficult time in our country. A very dark time when, just recently, when it really didn't look as though we were going to be able to make it or we're going to be able to go on. And it looked like the demise of society as we knew it. And you know what I'm talking about? It was the NFL players' lockout and strike. We almost didn't have football last year, and that was terrible. But what if moms just went on strike and just said, we're locking out here. The work that we do, the services that we provide, the intellect that you gain from all of those, if the godly women in our lives just said, we're not going to go on the way that we are. We're just going to withhold our services. How bleak an outlook would it be? Would we understand the value that people need to know? And the thing, why does it have to get to that? Why does it have to get to a player strike or a this strike or that strike? Why do we have such a hard time just letting everyone know how valuable they are? And not just saying thank you and not just, trying to appreciate, but really saying, if you didn't do what you do, this is how life would be and it wouldn't be good. Letting them know how valuable they are. Throughout this passage, we're given example after example. And it's about if this job didn't take place, the passage tells us that her family is well taken care of. They're warm. They're dry when it snows and when it rains because of her work. They're fed. They're financially taken care of. There's extra in the household because of her. See, the fact is, regardless of what we as men think that we can go out and gather and collect and amass, there's value added by the godly women in our lives. The next thing, not only recognize their worth, but enable their capabilities. You know, one of the things that I'm struck with Scripture throughout, whether it's Ephesians 4, where it talks about submitting to one another, not only are women to submit to their husbands, but husbands submit to their wives. And what that means is allowing women to be who God made them to be. If God called them to be domestic, allow that to happen. If He called them to be intellectual, give them the tools and the space to be that. If he called them and enabled them to do anything, allow women to be who God's called them to be. You know, it goes back to not my will, but yours be done. You know, I've got, you know, one of the things that when I got married, I had an idea of what I wanted for my wife. I did. I thought, well, this is how a wife ought to be and how to act. And I was reminded repeatedly that there will be an amendment made to my expectations. And there was going to be constant adjustments that I was going to have to make until my expectations were in line with what were actually going to happen. Because you see, God created my wife to be something beyond anything I could ever come up with. And I think that it's important as a congregation to see not only the value and recognize the worth, but to enable the capabilities of women and godly women. And what this looks like is just get out of the way. A lot of times what Scripture tells us, and there's this passage that, she sets out about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. All of these things, you know, she considers a field and buys it. You know, I don't know if she talked to her husband about that, but and did this or that. The Scripture doesn't tell us. But all it says is that she had the intellect to see a good deal, to take advantage of it, and to make a profit. I don't know metaphorically, if it's talking about, money or spiritual blessings or things of that. But what we see is that there is a man involved. There's a community involved, and they are allowing this woman to do what God has especially enabled her to do, has especially gifted her to do. So one of the things, not only recognize their worth and enable their capabilities, but also follow their example. You know, if we're going to honor women today, you know, one of the greatest honors that we could give is to continue a legacy of faith. And one of the challenges I want to give is never let a good legacy go to waste. You know, one of the things, you know, talking about football or anything else, the coaches always, or players really, well, what's this going to do to their legacy? What's this going to do to their legacy? You know, Brett Favre, he's a great quarterback, and he retires, and he comes back, and then he retires again, and he comes back again, and then he doesn't, and everybody's, oh, what's that going to do to his legacy? You know, presidents are all worried about this. Well, I'm going to get this passed because what is it going to do to my legacy? Well, what good is a legacy if no one comes behind to perpetuate that? If no one comes behind them to be the kind of player, to be the kind of president, to be the kind of citizen, to be the kind of mother or godly woman that they were, what is the point of leaving a legacy if no one's going to follow it anyway? You know, one of my mother's greatest, frustrations with me is why, I would go and I would ask her, well, what should I do? And then she would tell me what I should do. And then a lot of times, she told me something that I didn't want to hear. You know, moms, are you used to kids coming to you with with an agenda, with an answer that they want? And they say, well, what should I do? And you can tell that they're wanting you to, Richard, you don't try to negotiate now. It's, they have this, that you know what they want to hear, and you just can't tell them that. And then when you do, you tell them, this is what you should do. And lo and behold, they do the opposite. And my mom would say, Shane, why do you even ask me if you're not going to do what I tell you to do? And I asked myself that question. I asked my kids that question. Why? I asked, you know, members of my congregation, why do you ask me if you're not going to do this? Never let a good legacy go to waste. Do what it is that we have been exampled to do. There's a couple of passages. One in here in Proverbs. In Proverbs 31 and she does not eat the bread of idleness. What verse is that? I love that passage, and then I've lost it. Cutting into y'all's get out of here time, ladies. I'm sorry. 27. Oh, yeah. She watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. I love that passage. Not enough to remember the number, but I love that passage. You know what that passage is talking about? I'm going to give you three scriptures and write these down. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and 1 Timothy 5:13. You know what those passages talk about? The dangers of idleness, of being idle. This passage isn't just saying, oh, she's busy. She's just busy. She's always busy. Just doing whatever she's supposed to do. She's always busy. What this passage is impacted with is the reality that that there's dangers in allowing myself to have nothing worthwhile to do. And it's tempting. It's tempting. For a lot of people, it's bread. It's a foundational sustenance. I mean, bread is it was a building block of their diet. Everything that they ate was all about the bread. All about, you know, you have the bread, and then whatever they had would go on the bread, and it was all about, and so it's a foundation. It says, my life, my day is not sustained by idleness because there's a danger to it. You see, work for the godly woman, whatever it is, domestic work, corporate work, educational work, whatever it is, it isn't about the work itself. It's about the greater overall good, not only for myself, but for those who come behind me. It's that I will not be caught up in idleness. Read what the Bible says about those who find themselves idle, who find themselves not necessarily doing nothing, because you know people that can be idle while they're busy. Their mouths are just going and talking about things that they shouldn't be talking about. And this is not limited to women. Some men that I know are some of the greatest gossips I've ever heard of. Their minds are just constantly going about things that they should not be thinking about. So there is a danger in idleness. And the woman of God knows this. And she's always looking over the affairs. She's always making sure, children, don't be doing that. Husband, you know, make sure that you're not caught up in this, because there is a greater good, a greater legacy of faith that she wants to leave and that she wants others to follow. You see, this isn't just an example that she is establishing. This is a standard. And as we honor women this morning, as we honor the godly women in our lives, in our congregation, in our community, the greatest honor that we can give them is to follow the godly standard that was set before us. To honor the legacy of faith. All of the things that are listed here. All of the accolades and the praises, and it comes down to the last one. It says, you know, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. The reality is that any honor that we bestow upon the godly women in our lives today, any honor that we give our mothers this morning, it's not out of the goodness of our hearts. It isn't because we're great, sons or daughters or whatever. It's because they've earned it. Because they deserve it. God's calling us to honor women like that this morning. We are going to have an invitation song, and then we're going to have a physical honoring of the ladies here. And Dick is going to come up in just a moment and lead us, and she will be called blessed. This morning, as we're standing and singing that song, this morning, I want you to make a mental note, to make a mental list of not only of the women that you need to honor, that you need to call, that you need to hug, that you need to thank, that deserve your honor this morning, but also more important than that, think of ways this week that you can honor them by following the example, the legacy of faith that they left. Can we be challenged to be different because of those who have taught us to be different? Can we be godly because of those who have shown us what godly looks like? Together as we stand and as we sing.